friends, this is Christine Hoover from GraceCoversMe.com, and I want to welcome you to the By Faith Podcast, where each week this season I'm talking with a guest about the ins and outs of friendship. As I wrote about in my book, Messy Beautiful Friendship, friendship isn't easy for anyone. It takes time, intentionality, and lots of grace. And sometimes we have to navigate complexities and hurts in friendship that leave us uncertain and even crushed. I'm right there with you, and my guests are here to help us think through it all. I hope you've been enjoying these conversations so far. Kelly Needham, in the first week, I think did an excellent job of laying a solid biblical foundation for our friendship discussion this entire season. And then last week, Emily and Laura from Risen Motherhood talked about making friends in the busyness of life. Today, we're going to continue the conversation on how we can practically cultivate friendships in our lives. What tools do we all have at our disposal to invite friendship and invite a deeper knowing of one another? To help us do that, I've invited Amber Williams to join me on the show. Amber is married to Jamal, who is a pastor of Sojourn Midtown in Louisville, Kentucky. They have 5 children under the age of 8. Wow. I recently met Amber and knew immediately I wanted to have her on the show, and you'll find out exactly why as you listen. After today's episode, please join me on my Instagram stories, where each week I answer any questions that stem from the show. And today I'll be on there answering questions about my chat with Amber. You can find me at ChristineHoover98. Okay, friends, let's get to the conversation. Here is my chat with Amber Williams. I'm so excited to have Amber Williams on my podcast today. Hi, Amber.
Hi.
I met you. We got to tell a story of how we met, because I felt like it was like we caught eyes.
Yes.
I met Amber at a conference in this past August, and we were at a dinner, and I just happened to walk past her. And Amber, I remember just thinking, she looks so nice. Like, you looked me in the eye, you smiled. And then I was like, well, I'm just going to introduce myself to her. And we ended up hitting it off and enjoying some conversation during the conference. So do you remember that moment too?
I do remember that moment. I was headed to the dessert table for a second dessert. And we caught eyes. And for a minute, I was like, huh, because we smiled at each other. And I was like, do I know her? I was like, I don't think so. I was like, but she seems nice and inviting. And then you came over and I was like, oh, great.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I loved it. I loved meeting you. It actually was a highlight of that week for me, and just getting to know you, and especially because both of our husbands are pastors. So that was fun to kind of connect over that. So why don't you introduce yourself and tell the listeners about you and where you're at and your family life and all of that.
Okay. Yeah. So my name is Amber Williams, and my husband and I live in Louisville, Kentucky. He pastors a church here, and we've been in the city I've been here for 9 years and he's been here for 12. We've got 5 children. Their ages range from 8 to almost 2. We have almost 2-year-old twins. So 8, 7, 5, and then the twins. And yeah, we've been at this church. The church is called Sojourn Community Church. We've been here for almost 3 years, and it's just been a great time. So we've been married for 9 and just moving right along.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like y'all have anything to do around here. That's a lot. I thought it was really interesting. You talked about how you ended up at Sojourn. Can you tell us where you were before that and how you ended up at Sojourn?
Yeah. So, we were still in Louisville. My husband was pastoring a historically Black church. They just celebrated 150 years last year. So he pastored there for about 6 years, but he was interim for 1. So he had been at the church for about 10. He came down and served at the church right out of seminary. And we love that church. They became our family. We still have really great relationships with them. And just while we were there, my husband began to feel like the Lord was maybe like moving him in a different direction, but he didn't really know what. And he just happened to, at a silent retreat, meet up with the pastor, the former pastor of the church we're at now, who we knew and had a great relationship with. And while they were away on that silent retreat weekend, God just started to birth this vision in their hearts of racial reconciliation and like coming together to do this work at Sojourn. And through the advice and counsel of like many dear friends and even our other church, we just felt it was clear that God was calling us to make that move. It was a hard move to make because we were so deeply rooted where we were. But looking back, we see that it was God. And so, and even at the time, we saw God was moving. So it was good. It gave us peace.
So did your church that you were serving at kind of send you out? Do you feel like it was kind of like a sending out?
It was. It was so beautiful. They loved us so well. And on our last Sunday, the youth pastor there, who now is serving as the lead pastor, he got up and said, he's like, we don't really see this as a leaving, but more of as a sending. And we're sending you all out to continue to fulfill the call that God has on your lives. And it was just beautiful. And so we still have really great relationships with them. And we're just so thankful that mm-hmm. the Lord was kind to us in that way.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned when we met that the church Sojourn, when you came, was, did you say 99% white?
Yes, about 99% white.
And so you really were being sent out to
yeah.
and probably a very unfamiliar church cultural context.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that's like in many ways that's true. Like both my husband and I, we in college, we were involved in InterVarsity. So even though our chapter was primarily African-American, I think it was there that the Lord started to, and I grew up in kind of a multicultural upbringing. So I was used to being in different spaces like that. But I think it was in college that both of our hearts kind of started to burn with more of this desire to see a more full picture of the kingdom of God and of the church. So it didn't seem strange to us to make that move. But of course, being there, there are cultural differences that we had to adjust to, and it was a learning and growing process that had some hard times and some difficult moments, but also we saw a lot of beauty in it.
So. Mm-hmm. That's really incredible. And you had your twins that year too, right?
We did. There was a lot happened that year.
Yes. So that's exciting though. You said that things have changed a lot in the culture of the church in a good way, you think?
I do think. So now we'd probably be maybe about 80-20, 75-15% minority. And so it's really growing. I think we're trying to create a blend. We're not wanting to uproot the church and the culture that they have and all that the blessings and beauty that they bring. We're, I think my husband always talks about, we're trying to see what we can create a new sound together, a new thing together. So we've seen that in worship and the music and, just amongst the people. We've had a lot of different people coming to church now. And, my husband always says we want Sojourn, and I agree. We want anyone who comes to Sojourn to be able to say this feels like home. So
it's great. Well, I actually went to Sojourn last year. I didn't go to y'all's campus, but I went there.
Yes.
I can't remember. East? Sojourn?
Yes, East.
And I felt like it was home. And I know that's not y'all's campus, but it felt like the there was a very strong family feel to it. And I felt like, oh, this, I feel like I could be here. This is a church where I could be. So that's really cool.
Great.
Is the community around where y'all meet, your campus, is it a pretty diverse community? Is that why you're trying to reflect that community?
Yeah, we want to reflect the community. We want to reflect the community. Our community is probably about, 40, 60, 50, 40 white. I'm sorry, not 50, 40. 60, 40.
I didn't even catch that. I wasn't even, we're really good at math apparently. Okay.
White and African American. So the community around us is diverse. And then Louisville itself is a diverse city. So, and we have a lot of people within our body that work in different parts of the city in diverse, like refugee ministry and women involved in like the sex industry. So we have people working all these different spaces. And so we want to reflect that.
That's awesome.
In our church.
That's great. Well, when I first met you, when I met you at that conference, we had a great first conversation. But what really struck me about you is when we sat down for dinner, our husbands were there and we talked, and I felt very, I would say, loved by you. I would say you and your husband Jamal both were really good question askers. Mm-hmm. And I felt like you were you're a good conversationalist, and I felt like you were almost welcoming me in. And as we got to talking, you talked about how you love hospitality.
Yeah.
And you really see your role as pastor's wife of one of really reaching out to people, connecting with them, and just talking with them, the importance of connecting with people. And so that's what I wanted to ask you about, because I immediately knew that you were so good at these things. And I could see you enjoying, based upon our conversations, I could see you enjoying hospitality. And so I want us to learn from you. I want to learn how you do that in practical ways in your life. Because we just talked about, you have 5 kids under the 8. You're a pastor's wife. You have a lot going on. And so I would love to talk first about hospitality and how you incorporate that into your life.
Yeah. So hospitality combines 2 of my great loves, which are people and cooking. So I love people. I love to be around people. I love to get to know people. And I also love to share with people through cooking. And both my husband and I, we do love people, and we like to hear from them. And so we saw opening our home as an opportunity, like an easy way, like a first step of getting to know people and creating a stepping stone to go deeper. So that's one of the things that, you know, my husband and I really try to do is we'll try to look at our calendar and see, like, you know, maybe 4 times during the month or more, depending on the schedule, what's going on, and just having people over for dinner and getting to know families or new members or neighbors. That's just something that we like to do, and it gives us an opportunity to get to know them better and then for them to get to know us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's get real practical. You and Jamal sit down with the calendar once a month and you figure out days that you can have people over, right?
We do. We try. It doesn't always
work
out as a structured, let's sit down at the beginning of the month. Sometimes it's impromptu of, hey, this person reached out to me, can they come over on Thursday? And I'll say, okay, we don't have anything going. Sure, they can come. But yes, we do try to every month have people over, have several people over to get together with.
Yeah. So I would love to know, as you're thinking about who you want to ask over, mm-hmm. What are some maybe questions that you think through? Or I don't like the word strategic, but that's kind of what you're doing. You're being intentional, I guess that's a better word, trying to be intentional about specific people. So how do you decide who you're going to have over?
Yeah, that can be tough, because sometimes there's a lot of people that you want to have over, and then there's people that would like to get together with you. So you're having to make that balance. A lot of times, and I think maybe it's partly because of my husband's role as a pastor, I don't think there's ever a shortage of people that we can have over. Sometimes people will email him and wanting to talk about something and so that also works where he gets to serve people and love people, but also be with family. So sometimes he'll just bring those home and say, well, why don't you and your family come over for dinner? So that's one of the ways, but in terms of deciding, we want to try to see people that maybe aren't connected, mm-hmm. or that maybe seem on the fringe, and letting them know that, hey, they're valued, they're important, and they're loved as well. So even if it has to do with neighbors as well, like, how can we get to know our neighbors? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. we want to be good neighbors. And so that's one thing that we usually try to do. It seems sometimes to be harder to get neighbors in. So a lot of times we'll go to them or bake cookies around the holidays or Valentine's Day or Christmas and like take things to them and let them know that the door is always open.
Mm, that's great. Okay. So when I picture hospitality and what you're saying, I'm picturing, and I'm imagining listeners are picturing like a full on meal. Like, you have made a feast and you have the table decorated. And, you know, sometimes I think that's what we think of when we think hospitality. Is that what you do? If so, great. But if not, can you tell us what that looks like for you?
Sometimes it depends. Sometimes we will have like a full meal, you know, and have the whole family. Other times it's like, hey, why don't you guys, after the kids are in bed, if it's just the adults, like after the kids are in bed, why don't you guys come over and we can have dessert or we can have fruit or coffee and we'll just talk for a little while later in the evening. Or I have a go-to I do have a go-to simple meal that I cook a lot when people come over, which is like fettuccine Alfredo, because it's so quick to make and it's pretty easy. So it doesn't require a whole lot.
Will you share that recipe with us?
Sure.
I'll put it on the show notes so people can get their an easy go-to meal if they want to have people over, because it can feed a lot of people too.
It can feed a lot of people. It's relatively inexpensive. It's a cheaper version than, you know, chicken, potatoes, bread, you know, all that, having to come up with a full course meal. But it's filling and it's good and it's quick.
Yeah.
So yeah, love to share the recipe.
Great. Great. Well, I'm asking about hospitality because I have found in my life that having people in my home is a great tool for friendship. It's almost like an invitation for friendship, not just, hey, come in to my house and have dinner, but it's, hey, come into my life. I want to know you and I want you to meet. So have you seen that with hospitality and friendship?
I have. I think there's something about when someone invites you into their home that just like warms you, it opens you up, and it kind of shows like value and worth to the other person. I remember when we first started doing it, maybe it's a cultural thing, like going back, like sometimes my parents would say, you know, I just don't remember having people in our house all the time for dinner, and you know, what you and Jamal are doing is interesting. And
interesting, because your dad was a pastor, right?
Well, my grandfather was, but it was like it was a small family church, and so we were a very close family, but it was more like a family. So everyone there, we were literally related to.
Okay.
But I do, like growing up, I don't really remember a lot of people coming over, like that weren't family members, just having dinner with us. Now, granted, my parents had 6 kids and worked as well, but I do think some of it is cultural. But our pastor in college, I think, first introduced us to hospitality in that way and loving people in that way. And we wanted to model that in ministry as well and in our lives.
Mm-hmm. How would you say that God has used hospitality to cultivate friendship for you?
A lot of my deeper friendships are kind of forged through hospitality. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the relationships, either us being in their home or them being in our home, or just, you know, kind of living life together and inviting each other into those spaces. So one of our closest friends who had lived next door to us, like most Sunday nights, once our kids were in bed, like the four of us would sit up for hours and just talk about life and our struggles, what makes us upset, our joys. Like a lot of that was done in one another's home, like over some water and chips.
That's great. But it seems like you're good. Like what you just said is, it's not just hospitality. It is conversation. It is trying to know somebody and revealing yourself. And so let's talk about that, because I think you are an excellent question asker, and Jamal was as well. So together you two are a power couple when it comes to really showing value to people in conversation. So can you kind of help us think through how can we go from, okay, I know this person and I've invited them in my home and we've kind of talked about the kids and we've talked about our jobs, but like, how do you get to the level of what you just said where you're saying, this is what, you know, I'm fearful about, or this is what I'm struggling with?
Yeah. One thing that Jamal and I really like to do, and I like to do when we're getting to know someone new or we're trying to take conversations deeper, is we do like to ask about the person's life story, or like tell us, you know, like kind of like tell us about yourself, especially if they're a Christian, like how did you come to faith? And asking those questions that kind of take them back and have them to think and go maybe into deeper things that they wouldn't necessarily just say off the bat. So we get to learn about who they are and listen to that. And then a lot of times from that, then you can, other questions are birthed, like, oh, so how did you end up here? And how did you, you know, so I think just trying to really get to know that person, it takes it to the next level.
Mm-hmm. So that's a go-to question is, tell us your story. Do you have other go-to questions?
Yeah. I think some other questions, Jamal, once I've known someone for a little while, one of the questions that we'll ask is, how's your heart? doing. And a lot of times that initially that takes people off guard. It's like, what does that mean? What does that mean?
But it's
we're going to go there. Yeah. It's like, hey, how are you?
Yeah.
I think it's so easy to just say, oh, I'm good. Fine. Yeah. But yeah. How's your heart is a question that we ask. I mean, you probably wouldn't ask that to someone like when you first meet them, but yeah, like you said, yeah, you've been talking with someone for a while and you kind of are good acquaintances, kind of going to the next level. Or a lot of times I might even start with something with myself, like, hey, you know, my daughter, if they, like, we've been having this struggle, or we've been going through this stage, I know you have someone older, how did you manage like the mother-daughter relationship? Or how did you deal with, you know, when your kids are anxious, you know, kind of taking something from my own life and initiating the vulnerability aspect.
That's a good idea. I like that.
Opening it up to them to give me feedback.
Yeah. Oh, that's really good. Cause then you're taking it there, but you're the one sharing kind of and asking for their input. That's really good. I like that. But do you ever feel weird or awkward in conversations like that? Do you ever feel weird when you're like, okay, I'm going to go there and say, how's your heart? And it gets a little bit awkward. I actually had somebody ask me on Instagram, how can I ask questions like that without being a weirdo?
Yeah, it can be challenging sometimes. I was recently talking with a friend who I think also was a great question asker and just relational friend person. And so I was asking her, like, some of the same questions you're asking, like, what are some of your go-to questions? Or how do you, you know, love people through conversation? And it seems so simple, but she said, you know, honestly, I just start with the basics of who, what, when, where, why, and how. So if we're in conversation, you know, I kind of ask, well, what were you thinking when that happened? Or how did that make you feel? Like these non-threatening questions that also kind of require the other person to go deeper and to share more, but they're relational too. So they don't necessarily feel like they're being forced to say something. So that was really impactful for me, because sometimes I'm like, okay, what good questions can I ask? What good questions? And she, you know, kind of said, you know, you're listening, but then you're asking like those who, what, when, where, why questions. And listening and then going off of what they say, which can create more questions.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. It's like dipping your toe in and getting a little bit more and more into the deeper end slowly. And I think once you've done the shallow end questions, and as you move, there's more comfort there and trust there.
Yeah.
That enables you to ask those questions. And don't you think people appreciate being asked about? I mean, my husband always says that everyone's favorite subject is themselves. And that's, I think that's kind of true, but it's not always in a selfish way, but we experience being loved through those questions. I love what you just said about how do you love people through conversation? That's really good. So are you going into situations, you're thinking about that?
Yeah. I do want to think about that. And I know my husband always says when we're getting together with people, and something that we think about is I want to see how many questions I can ask them. Like I want to make the focus them, so that it doesn't, because it's so easy for a conversation to just become about ourselves, and inviting other people into that, or like kind of like a ping pong, like making sure that we're sharing, but we're also making space for them to share too.
Mm-hmm. So Amber, what do you do if you're in a conversation and maybe you're in a friendship where you feel like it's not a ping pong match, that it is maybe somebody who is not returning the questions? Do you have that situation? I know you do, because you're a pastor's wife. But what do you do in that situation? Because sometimes, I'm not talking about ministry situations.
Yeah.
I understand that that's the way it's going to be, and that's okay. But but in a mutual friendship, have you had that happen, and what have you done about that?
Yeah, that's tough, because I mean, I have experienced that, and it can be easy to kind of shut down and just let them be the one talking and sharing. I think sometimes you might have to just insert yourself in the conversation. I think sometimes they don't, I don't know, that maybe that's something they don't realize. And I think finding those opportunities to share little things, or maybe even inviting yourself into that conversation that you're having with them, and they might be sharing about their life, and you can say, yeah, you know, that reminds me of something. You know, I think it can be tough. I know, always, I think it can be handy to have a jar. I've done this too, like sometimes at group gatherings, having a jar with questions in it. And if you feel like the conversation is becoming stagnant, or even having a list of questions in your mind of like things that you can pull from, or like things that you can just give out, and they respond and then you respond. I know it can be tough because you don't want to be rude. And sometimes, I don't know, sometimes just maybe at that time listening is the best response.
Yeah. I was just thinking it kind of takes some discernment in that situation to know, is this a time that I insert myself, or is this a time I just need to listen? Sometimes loving people means just listening.
Yeah.
So you shared with me when we met that you have a good friend that just moved. And I just wonder how you've been dealing with that, because I know a lot of women have asked me questions, or they want me to ask people I'm interviewing about when friendships change because one moves away. And so I'd love to hear from you about that, how you're dealing with that, and what God's teaching you about friendship through that.
Yeah. It's tough. It's always hard when things change or people move or you move. Our friends, I think I mentioned earlier in the podcast, we had friends that were also serving with us at the church, and they were literally our next door neighbors, but we had known them for several years, and our kids are like the same age, and we would have those late night Sunday hangouts. So when they moved to California to plant a church, the selfish part of me is like, I don't think God's calling you to California. I think he's calling you to stay here. But seeing that, they move. But I think how I have dealt with it is we'll try to schedule times to talk. And also seeing that change isn't necessarily a bad thing. We, both of us, have grieved and like cried about it, and all of us. And, you know, let them know that our love for them is still there. I think one thing the Lord has showed me through it, though, is the importance of deep relationships, of having someone there that you can just be fully yourself with. Mm-hmm. And I think with them leaving, it just reminded me that to make sure that I'm not withholding myself from others in that way, and doing my best to maintain those. I can be a poor long distance communicator. I'm not a big phone talker or like social media person. Yeah. So I'm not on the phone a lot. So sometimes, not even just with friends, like even family, I can, like, distance makes me nervous, because I'm nervous that I might not give that, how I feel about the person might not be felt because of the distance. So it's taught me to, you know, to discipline myself in that way. I mean, it's not an excuse to say, oh, I love you, but I'm just not going to call, but I'm thinking about you. But making the time to continue to invest in that relationship.
Mm-hmm. So y'all are trying to talk on the phone, even though you don't like to talk on the phone.
Yeah. it's like, you know, I don't mind talking on the phone. I like being with people, like the in-person.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I try to think of, like, if I'm going to pick up kids from school, like, okay, here's the time I can give a call. Or, you know, while I'm cleaning or washing dishes, like, okay, how can I make time and space for this person? And so it's teaching me to think through those things more, of things that I care about and how I can invest in them.
Yeah. You mentioned the grieving part too. I think sometimes that's hard for me I've been grieving a lot of friendship losses this year. And I think it's hard sometimes to give myself permission to just be sad about it. It changes sad sometimes.
It is. And that's part of it. I think it's okay to be sad and to grieve. I think that also just expresses the deepness of the love that was there. And I think sometimes the Lord was reminding me of that, because I could kind of push something to a different category of like, oh, it's not, you know, it's just happening. It's not that big a deal. And, you know, so that it doesn't affect me. Yeah. But I don't think that's the healthiest thing, because it might come off to the person as you don't really care. But yeah, I think when we are grieving or in those hard times, then that's when we give the Lord an opportunity to comfort us. And we are in a place where we can learn and grow. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to be sad.
Yeah. I think it also has helped me be thankful for what I do have and not yes. take it for granted, but just mm-hmm. to truly thank God for the people in my life that remain. And yeah, that relationship that is far away mm-hmm. is still a friend. It's not like, oh, they're not my friend anymore. It's just changed.
Yeah.
So I can be thankful for that. Mm-hmm. They were in my physical life for a while in the same place.
That's true.
Amber, any final words that you would say about what you have learned about being a friend to other people?
Yeah, I've learned to just, I think one thing that the Lord's been teaching me is just be yourself. Mm. Everyone's like personalities are different, and some people we're different. And I think sometimes we can get trapped in trying to be like someone else, like be the person that's emailing or following up or texting with every person that we met, or that is, you know, having people over all the time. But if that's, I think we all need to grow and stretch in different ways, but God has created us how we are, and we can be a good friend with the personality and the gift settings that God has given us.
Hmm.
So I would say, yeah, be how you are and love people. Like, be open to giving yourself to people. Not just, I think you don't know how far a smile goes, or just a how are you doing. Remembering people's names is very impactful. So I think just be who you are, use the gifts that God's given you in whatever capacity that they are, and see how you can love people through that.
Mm-hmm. That's so great. I love that, because I think some people listening might think, oh, hospitality, it's not my gift. I can't do that. But I love that you're saying that may be that's Amber's gift. And I think we all can step out of our comfort zone, like you said, and try things. But that's great advice. Thank you. Well, thank you for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
First thing you do after listening to my chat with Amber is to grab her fettuccine Alfredo recipe in the show notes and invite someone over tonight that you'd like to know deeper. Maybe if you're feeling really brave, you can even use Amber's go-to question, how's your heart, and see what happens. Friends, there are so many things to talk about regarding friendship, and we're definitely going to get to more as this season goes on. Things like hurts in friendship, how we can help friends who are hurting, and how do we make friends with those who don't know Jesus. But I want you to know that I wrote a book called Messy, Beautiful Friendship, and the majority of what I'd want you to know about friendship is in that book. I hope you'll grab your copy today and get to reading it with other women in your life. If you do choose to read it with your book club or your church group, I've written a helpful discussion guide so you don't have to come up with anything on your own. It's all right there. You can find a link to the discussion guide in the show notes as well. Next week, join me as I sit down with Catherine Parks, author of a new book called Real. Amber's given us some questions today to invite deeper conversation, and next week Catherine is going to take the baton and help us think through what true vulnerability looks like in friendship. You won't want to miss this conversation, so plan to join me here next time. Thanks for listening to By Faith. Have a great week, and until next time, keep walking forward by faith.